Now, last week when you came, I was just briefly, just touching, preparing you for what we're going to be doing next year. And I said that next year, we are going to be a little bit more focused and practical in the area of being missional, both corporately, but also individually. So, we are 2 weeks away from next year, so I felt like I could prepare your heart and your mind so that as you go through this season, that's one of the things that is on your mind, or that's one of the things that is on your heart. If you have to relocate or replan or reprogram, that you give yourself an opportunity to do that. I really feel and I really believe that in the coming weeks and in the coming months, we are going to really hit the ground as far as what God has called us to do here. I really feel that strongly, and we already know as a leadership what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and where we are going to go and how we're going to reach out and how we're going to fund this thing. I'm really excited. I was talking to my wife yesterday, and we are making plans to give more. And I was saying, I need to do this, I need to do that. I'm really very excited. I want to really stretch myself as I've never stretched myself in giving this coming year, because I want to see men and women be raised up in the local church. It's not going to just be here, but it's really going to be what we're going to be doing here and out there. So I'm really, really excited about what God is doing here, and we are going to do such a deep, wide investment. Botakula next year, come for your money, and I'll give it to you by the end of 2023, and go to another location or another church. But I truly believe by the time we are done next year, especially the first 6 months, you ought to have been rooted and grounded and stable and moving and reaching out and excited and all the things like Pastor Ronald has been praying in the last couple of weeks, that we be zealous, we be on fire. I want to dare you that you try to be more on fire than me. I try to be more passionate than any other person, and that means whether I'm having everything I want to have, or whether I have a good day or day, but I try to be zealous. I try to be passionate about the things that God has really called us as a local church to do. So I dare you, but I'm going to continue to be more on fire in the next coming weeks, because men have to be raised up. Women have to be raised up. And if you go around and around, you're going to see that the time is now. I had a very good opportunity yesterday, and I'm praying that I get more of those opportunities in the next coming year. I had an opportunity. I had those this year, but a little bit fewer of those opportunities. But Sister Evelyn invited me to this event. This family got together with their friends, and they invited all their children. And they're giving them like maybe a holiday party, and so they called us as counselors to come and talk to them. There were about more than 50 young people from about 12 years and 18. And when I was there, that's when I realized that there is a very big role that the local church needs to do. Because these kids are innocent, these kids are lost. But one of the things I really noticed, and it was evident even before we started, that these kids didn't know God. They've heard about Him, but they didn't know God. And I don't blame their parents, because I believe their parents also don't know what to do. We are living in a time where parents are confused also. They don't know what to do with their children. So I said, Lord, if I get to get more of these opportunities next year, I'm going to make you proud. I was really excited. Every time I get around young people, I'm very excited. And I said, Lord, this is why you have put me in this time, to to shake every pore that the enemy has put out there. And I'm going to do that until I breathe my last breath. I'm not going to give the devil a foothold in any house, in any community, as long as I can reach there. So that was very, very, very nice of you, Sister Evelyn, for inviting me and Pastor Monica. And please, I would urge you that if you have groups like that, invite us. Just organize them and say, Pastor, come. And we'll come. And then we'll set that group on fire, because that's why we are here. So we're going to be doing more of those in the next coming year. They may be small, they may be big, they may be national, they may be community, they may be family. You know, we're going to do those. We're going to be a little bit more intentional. And I pray that when they invite you on such occasions, go. Go, because you never know who you are reaching out and who you are going to find there and who God is going to allow you to raise. Praise the Lord. So we are going to be a little bit more focused and missional. You know, I've been looking at this, but until now I was looking for the picture I saw before we planted this church. And I've talked about it so many times, but I haven't found the picture that I saw. But this one looks a little bit like what I saw. You know, before we planted this church, I was reading, I was reading Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where it says, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power, okay? And you'll be what? My witnesses, and you will start from where? Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then what? So what I did, because I knew that God was speaking to me, I went on the map, and I tried to see whether actually the Bible is saying start from Jerusalem, go to Judea, go to Samaria, and then to the utter parts of the world. So I went on the map, and I saw that actually they are not chronologically in order. If you go on the map, you're going to see that Samaria is this side, Judea is this side, and Jerusalem is this side, and of course the ends of the world was the ends of the world. And then I said, but God, what are you trying to say? So I went on the map, and I started on my book. It says, okay, what does this mean? And I started drawing. And when I started drawing, all the arrows were just going out there, out there, out there. And then I realized that the church that God wanted us to start was a church that was going to be numerously reaching out all across the world. So the picture I got looked more like the day I get it, I will show it to you. I was trying to look at that picture online. I couldn't get it. But if you can go back, what I saw was just numerous, small, you could say, fireworks going everywhere in the world. And up to now, I can't fathom that, because naturally speaking, it's almost impossible to think that we can do that. But Jesus said when the Holy Spirit, we'll talk about that in the beginning of the year, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. And I believe that in the day that we are living in, that is not a promise. It is a reality. God was talking about the stars of salvation, that there's going to come a time where we will be, it shall be possible for us to reach the entire world at the same time because of the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, because of the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, because of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has not been given to us just to shout, lay hands on people to be slain. No, the Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we can be the witnesses. We can be the witnesses. Wherever God finds us, wherever God puts us, like yesterday, we're at that family, gathered all the neighbors and their kids, and who are there as what? As witnesses. Of who? Of Jesus Christ. And that's what believers should be doing. And the world is getting a little darker and darker. By the way, it's never going to get better. But also the light is getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter every other day. I was studying this week and was sitting in the same chair with my wife, and she was looking at something online. And there's this guy, I've seen his face, I don't really know him, but I've seen his face, that just committed suicide. It's called who? And Pastor Monica, it's called who? There's the guy, huh? Who? Twitch. Anybody knows Twitch? But anyway, it's been like famous dancer, right? Yeah, very famous. But according to what I saw, my wife was reading it, he's really been like at the prime of his life. Very wealthy. And the other thing he had, this guy had a very beautiful family. Very beautiful family. Life was going on so much, and then he just committed suicide. He just committed suicide just like that. He had everything else that sometimes we are praying for. Money, fame, and a very, very gorgeous family. If you see them, you say, why did he hang himself with all that? It tells you that hope is not out there. Hope is inside here. The church has the hope for the world. If a man that has everything that you're praying for right now commits suicide, zukuka. Zukuka. Katuwebuza yeserachi. Aina amamotoka. Ali on the platform. I don't know how many followers he has, but I'm thinking he has so many followers. He can stop working today and still survive for the end of the rest of his life and his family and his great-great-grandchildren. But yes, say, suicide tells you that hope is not out there. Hope is in here, inside this thing called the local church. You shall receive power. And you will be witnesses. I promise you, if we do not take this light out there, it will get darker and darker every other day. People are looking for hope. People are looking for answers. And the answers God has already put in these people we call the Church of Jesus Christ. People are looking. So where can I find real hope? Where can I find real life? And it's in the local church. Not out there. It's in the local church. That's where God has put all the answers. And can I tell you today is that, like we've always sung it, that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Carry your candle. Seek out. Take your candle, go like your world. Take your. We sing those songs, but do we really know that those songs actually talk about us? There's another one. We like singing in this church, which is my favorite. Savior King. Which is very, very, very prophetic. That song is very prophetic. But all those songs talk about we as a church that we are the light of the world. We are the church. We are the solution that the world needs. And it's very absurd sometimes that the church maybe doesn't know that, or believers don't know that, and yet the world is keeping on looking for what? For answers. And the answers are in here, in the local church. Amen? Now, in Luke, let me start with Luke. Okay, now let me not start in Luke. Let's start in Genesis, and then I'll come back to Luke. In Genesis chapter 4. If you're not here last week, please go and listen to the audio for last week. Because I said some things that I'm not going to repeat. But in Genesis chapter 4 and verses 9. Okay, let's start from verse 8. And says, "And now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and what? Killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Now the context, of course, is Cain killed his brother. But in general, or in a general overview, what I wanted to say is God was holding Cain accountable for his brother. And he's saying that you are born in this family as one. And you're born in this family with one purpose and one vision. And so I'm coming to you, Cain, and I'm asking, where is your brother? And Cain is saying, well, I don't know. He said, God, am I my brother's keeper? It's not that God didn't know where Abel is. Of course, he knew that Cain had already killed his brother. But, you know, it's so sad that many times we come into the local church like this. And people come into the local church and they stop coming. And we don't even know where they are. And we don't even ask sometimes. But we just continue, you know, having our party after party after party after party after party. But somebody who is a part of us, he's missing. And nobody knows where they are. And sometimes it's so sad, nobody knows where they stay. We are supposed to be our brother's keeper. Anything that concerns your brother concerns you. Anything that concerns your sister concerns you. Why? Because we are a family of God. And because we are a family of God, we are set on one mission. So when one person is missing, you ask. We find out. Why? Because we are accountable. You know, one of our church members just lost his father a few weeks ago. But it would have been very absurd. And I actually recommend all the people in this church that reached out to our sister when she lost Tracy, when she lost her dad 2 weeks ago. But it will be absurd that we stayed here and she went to the village, buried her father, and when she came back and says, "Bia genze bitia," it will be very absurd. But I'm glad that people from this church, not many of us, but people went. People slept there at her place. Why? Brother's keeper. In fact, if God was asking us that particular season, where is Sister Tracy? We knew where she was. We knew what was going on. Kept on disturbing Brother Mike and Pastor Victor, says, what is happening? What is going on? Keep me in the know. What is happening? Are you there? Yes, we are there, Pastor. This is what is happening. Because for me, we cannot do life and not do life extremely. Whatever happens to you happens to me. A week ago, we were singing here and happy with Sister Tracy, all right? But a week after, she's crying. We ought to be crying with her. Amen? Oh, Jesus wept also for his dear friend, Lazarus. You've been hearing the integrity of the word. Be strong. You've not lost someone that is very close to you and is very dear to you. You will cry also. Because I don't think we are ever going to get used to losing people that we love. Even not just death, but even when somebody leaves. I don't think we're ever, humanly speaking, we're never going to get used to that. Especially if someone you dearly love. Now, if the president goes out of the country, who cares? Because you're not close to him. But somebody who is close to you, you start asking, Enyonyeri okay? Is it the right pilot? Is this the right airline? Because you know. You know that you don't want anything bad to happen to that person. So we care. We're supposed to be our brother's keeper. If somebody has been coming to your fellowship when something happens and they ask, you should know. And let me also say this. We may not know everyone where they stay. You better know where everyone who's coming to your house church, where they stay. Because one of these days, something is going to happen to them and you want to go there. Nutaniko kuwa masimu tegali iko. You start to fumble. Why? You didn't care. You didn't find out. So, take some initiative. Si banji nyo usual ababira my house church. So where does this person stay? Can I find out? Now, I'm saying for the good reasons, right? Don't go there and then if this is place. It's a nice place. There's a brother that used to be a part of us. Ngawa Jewo. Aja. Magrunateka kutebo. Na kwata remote. Aksanzo laba. Ate. Na atakubulira saza agenda kola chigenda. Na abeerawo kuva ku macha. Lunch temwamu planning ze na abeerawo. Gero kulaba obudde regular chigenda kula mawulire. Njagala kula mawulire. That is a kind of brother. If we saw him in the window ngatugalao. I did that. God forgive me. Many times. Wawe nyumba jinagenda kunga mbela waguru. So mkulawa angoji ya kugeti. Nganji galao. Pastor Tali. Wawe motoka weri. Wawe genze. Brother nga taina discernment. Ajain takugambia nchi aja. Ayingira obo yingizi. Agena kubela oku vakumacha. Paka regulo. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about. Muba manyi museka, I think you know. You just know what I'm talking about. But anyways, I just wanted to lighten you up. The issue here and the situation here that God was talking about with Cain was a very serious thing. Because Cain had just killed his brother, who was supposed to do life with, and he said nothing about it. And so God just wants to bring him to accountability and say, hey, you've done this, but you're quiet about it. Well, where is your brother? And rudely Cain says, I'm not my brother's keeper. You go find out where he is. But I am not. And that wasn't really very, very, very family. So, in the next coming weeks, we're really going to talk about that. But if we go in, this was one of Jesus' concerns. If you go in Luke, where I said we should go, Luke 9, I think. Luke 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together. Who did he call? His 12 disciples. Okay? Together. And what? Gave them power and authority over what? Over demons, and to do what? And to cure diseases. He sent them to do what? To preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Do you see that? He sent them to do what? To preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff nor bag, no bread, no money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Wherever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns. Everyone say the towns. Doing what? Preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. I want you to see how Jesus is both corporately but also individually training the people that he had called, his disciples. He says, he sent them out into what? Into villages to do what? To preach the gospel or the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, when we say preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, and I'm going to explain that later, we're not saying be a pastor of a big local church. No. Preaching the gospel doesn't mean, and I'm going to explain that, all right, to some degree, all right, doesn't mean that you're going to be in charge of a big local church. Amen? Amen? Preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is a responsibility of every believer. Not just a few, but every believer. When Jesus sent out, he sent out all the 12. Not just some. I say, for you have a call of being an administrator, stay. For you have a call of being an usher, stay. No, he sent them out all. Where? In the villages. So that means that all of us, because we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be out there in the community to do what? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like yesterday I told you, it wasn't really planned, but I was called. And so I found myself out there in Gayaza with a certain group of people doing what? Preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? So in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others. Now you see, there were 12. Send them out. Go preach, heal, do miracles. Now, I am very sure that the 72 were not miraculously. They didn't miraculously just come. It was the 12 that went out and multiplied to the 72. Jesus is concerned about multiplication. There are 12. There are now 72. Now see what he does with the 72 also. He appointed 70 others also, and did what? Sent them two by two before his face, into every city and place where himself was about what? To go. So the same thing he did with the 12 is the same thing we did with the what? Now, people who say that when the church grows big, it cannot fulfill the mandate is because they are not intentional. There were 12. But now there are 72. And the 72 are going out just as the 12. Why? There is some intentionality that Jesus had put there, that when I call people, this is what I do with them. But the majority of us, or the majority of the people who come to many local churches, I promise you, like I gave you statistics last week, we just come and sit down. Tewale agala kumuvinga. Nobody wants to do anything that is going to cause them to come out of their comfort zone. You know why? Because sometimes I think people don't want to make people uncomfortable. Bwinabagamba kakati bagende waweru, what will happen? Bayinza obutakomawo, bayinza okunyigira, stuff like that. Bwinagamba ono, sajja mugagga, bwinamugamba ate n'anyiga. Stuff like that. Very pity stuff like that. But it's what has caused the local church not go out. Whether you're rich, obovuga benzo jitadde wali, bojja wano, olichi, oli disciple. Amen? Oli disciple. So the instructions also apply to you that go out. Like for us, we are pastors. Whether you are a pastor and you've been a pastor for 10, 12 years, when it comes to go out, you go out. Don't give instructions that you're not doing. Amen? Amen? Listen to what Jesus said. He sent them out where he was also going. He didn't send them out, nasigala eka. No, yabagamba jemba sindika jenzija. The reason why we're not seeing multiplication, sometimes, not always, sometimes, is the leaders, the pastors, are not demonstrating this. You are telling people to go out, you are not going out. Mompuliriza? Kama mompuliriza? Jebagenda joino gina, like for example, we are sending you out. I'm just using this example because it's a life example that is fresh. Now, Sister Evelyn has been going out. She gathered some people and then said, Pastor, where you sent me, there is a group, I need you. Can you make it on this time? I said, let's do a program. Did you see? I would have said, that is your flock. That is your, but take care. No, I'm the one who has been saying, go out. She has gotten flock there and she needs me to come and support. I need to be in position to go out. Or if I'm not, then one of the pastors needs to go there. Amen? Come on, amen? Jesus sent them out and says, I'm sending you where I'm also coming. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Then he said to them in verse 2, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. You see that? Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers where? Into the harvest. So you see, the problem here is not the harvest. The problem here is that laborers. Why are we having few laborers? It's because sometimes there may be so many reasons. It's because of what I'm talking about right now, that many people don't really realize that the call to preach or go out and preach the gospel is for everyone. Amen? So Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. But what? The laborers are few. Glory be to God. In John, mark that, okay? The laborers are few, the harvest is plenty. In John chapter, I believe, 4. Are we here? This is the story of Jesus. I'm not going to read the entire story. But the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Verses 28. John chapter 4, verses 28. I'm going to start from there. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see, a man who told me all things that I have what? I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him and saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples say to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You see that? What is that? Verse 35. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready. White for what? For harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their what? Can I have a new Living Translation for that verse 38? I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Everybody who is here, nobody came here by themselves. Every one of us entered into other people's labors. You are here because somebody labored for you to be here. Some of us, other people labored in prayer. Some of us, other people, labored in following you up. You gave them headache, but they continued to do what? To labor. Why? Because they saw something special and something great in your life. So they continued to do what? To labor. And you have entered in because of somebody else. Is labor. So you see, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There are very few people, by the way, today, who want to, in church, I'm not talking about outside, in church, who are living a selfless life. It's a little bit selfish nowadays. Everybody wants to raise their family, and that's it. Everybody wants his own life, and that's it. Everybody just wants things that are not going to make them uncomfortable. And that's it. But how about we start to labor for somebody else? Can I hear an amen? How about we make our lives comfortable for somebody else? How about you walk distances, even when you don't have transport, because you're going to teach someone what? The Word of God. You know, when I was going to my career, one of the things, honestly speaking, I was battling with going to continue with that house church is, how am I going? I work in Gayaza. I live very late. So I'm just thinking, how am I going to be making every week going to Wandegea? And then at one time I says, you know what? If this is not going to be a sacrifice, then it's not worth it. So I said, Pastor Victor, we are going to Makere, because I know Pastor Victor had a bike. Because I knew whether rain or shine, wali. But for some reason, before we could continue, got an accident. So then, aha. That was my only hope. I can't drive from Gayaza to Makere because by that time the jam is just crazy. I leave at 5. Our sale starts at 5. So it wasn't just working out. But I remember one time I said, Lord, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I have made up my mind. That's my sale now. And looking back, that is one of the best decisions I've ever made this year. It made me a little bit uncomfortable, but along the way, I started enjoying it. Why? I found people there who are hungry, who want to know Christ, who are like me. Then now it ceased to be a sacrifice anymore. It became an honor. It became a delight. Why? I said, I'm whether transport or not, I'm going to go there. So, I think that as believers, we need to look into ourselves and start and say, who am I living for? Who am I living for? Am I just living for my thing? Now, if you are coming here and we call you a leader, sometimes it can be deceptive to just say, I'm going there because it's a duty. I have to lead a cell. My leader told me so. But I'm talking about you as yourself, seeing yourself and say, hey, I'm a part of this great mission that is in the Bible there. And so, how am I going to sacrificially do this so that somebody's life can get better? Somebody told me, I think it's about three people, and last week, Sister Julia, I'm going to talk about you. So, Sister Julia came to me and says, Nange njagala kubera mu house church ye Makerere. But do you know why I say that every week? It's because I want to get you jealous. I want to get you jealous. I want you to get to see that this is life. This is a omuntu goyagala omwogera ko buli kaseera. You brag about them. Amen? Until it become what? It become jealous. Of those people around that nga mwogera konyo. If it's many people have told me, but I do it intentionally to tell you that this is something that you can do. That you can be doing life with people every week. And they can become so close to you that you love them so much. Bakuli kubwongo. And that's why Brother Marino is here in front. I talk about Brother Marino every week. Did you realize that? Me and Brother Marino are always in our faces every week. Ya nonya. Hey, Pastor, can we talk about this? No wonder when I'm here, is the first person that comes to my mind, and I keep make my jokes on him because we meet every week. Oina abantu bo meeting every week. Boyo gerako, musavisi, kubanga bakuli kubwongo. And I'm not talking about my family. I'm talking about an extended group that has become so close that every single time when I'm talking about something, I talk about them. I want you to see that this is our life. I'm not just talking about something that, Kadatugama next year to get into Zimbe Church. No, I'm talking about, do you know that you have a responsibility as a believer? Ogena kutandika di, bobato natandika. Brother Robert, ogena tandika di, bobato natandika. Praise the Lord. And everybody, I'm going to show you, and everybody can do this with ease. You don't have to leave your job to do this. You don't have to carry your cross to do this. Sometimes you will, but you don't have to. You can do this every day and nothing changes about your life. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're busy, you can do this and fulfill God's call and responsibility of why you are still breathing on this planet. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Say, next year, I'm going to start at a work. I'm going to start out a work. Ate gubera kugenda kubera mulimu gwange. Ngenda gukuza. Ngenda gulabirira. Ngenda gufukirira. Gugenda kula. Mulinya lya Yesu. Oino mulimu. Mukama gwakuwadde. Ngenda kubalaga wano. Oguina. Gulabirire. Gukuze. Gufukirire. Things die because nobody is taking care of them. Anything will come to life if you take care of it. Water it. Give it food. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. And that's what I want us to do next year. That when God gives us money, is that we start to help other people to come on board. To get to know what? To get to know their purpose in life. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying to this woman in Luke 4 and to his disciples that I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. There's a scripture that Pastor Ronald likes, Epaphras. That is, Colossians what? 4:12. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, greets you. Doing what? Always laboring fervently for you in what? In prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Are you Epaphras? Sister Maggie, are you Epaphras? Because Epaphras is one of us. But Epaphras, not just one of us, but is a bond servant. And it's not just a bond servant. Epaphras is laboring fervently in prayers that we may stand. We need more Epaphrases in the churches today. People who are laboring fervently to see other people change. We need such men. We need such women in the local church. And I believe for us here at Limited Church, God has positioned us very well, and we're going to do that even more. We are doing it, but I believe we're going to do that even the more. One time prayer, Paul was praying, I think again it's in the episodes, he was saying that, I labor and strive until Christ is formed into you. That is what? That's the Galatians 4:19, right? Galatians 4:19. He says, so is that, right? Galatians 4:19. Galatians. My little children, for whom I what? I labor in birth again. Until what? Until Christ is formed in you. Or until Christ, the Greek word there, formed, until Christ is fashioned in you. In NLT, can you give me NLT? Come on. I wish I were with you right now. So I could what? Oh, 19. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through what? Labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your life. Who are you laboring for? Who are you laboring for? But you see, the scriptures I've read are the core foundation or center of this Christian walk. These are selfless men who have decided to be selfless so that other lives may be changed. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. So in Exodus, really, where I wanted to be today, Exodus 11. Exodus 18, sorry. Verses 13. This is a story again of Moses and his father-in-law Jethro. We've done this entire story and study in the series of Exodus. And actually what I'm talking about is one of the sermons I didn't do in Exodus. So there are about 3 sermons. So this is one of them. I don't know when I'll do the other 2, but I'll try and find opportunities like this. So in Exodus chapter 18 and verses, did I say 14? 13, right? And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until what? From morning till what? Come on, from morning until what? From morning until evening. Just imagine an entire nation is coming to Moses from morning to evening, and he is judging them. Now, before we go further to verses 14, I wanted us to read Mark chapter 27. I mixed up the scripture. Just forget it. Let's do Acts chapter 28, verses 23. Acts 28, 23. Okay. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained solemnly, testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from what? From both the law of Moses and the prophets. We're talking about Paul, okay? From what? From morning until evening. Now, what Moses was doing is actually wasn't an accident, because it looks like other people who came to do the will of God took Moses' model and continued with it. And actually, the verse I wanted to also find is that Jesus also operated in the same model that Moses was using. So Moses came in the morning and started teaching the people about God until evening. So we see that it's not just Moses, but other prophets now took the same model, like Paul. And he was teaching, persuading men from the law and the prophets, and he was doing this from morning till evening. Paul did that. Jesus did that. So if we go back to Exodus, Yeah. So Moses is judging the people from morning until evening. So verses 14. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" So Moses' father-in-law is saying that the teaching is bad and doing it from morning to evening is bad. But what he's saying, why are you doing it alone? Are we here? Come on, are we here? Okay. Then verses 15. And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God." So what Moses was doing, he was teaching people on behalf of God. Verses 16. "And when they have a difficulty, they come to me, I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." Now listen to me, middle church. Give me some attention. I believe that one of the problems that we are having, not just in a local church, but in the world today, is because there has been, and I'm not just saying just in Uganda, but globally, there has been this kind of looking down on the Word of God. Like most people say, don't give us too much God. Don't give us too much scriptures. But you see, when God wanted to change the culture, he said, "Moses, I need you to do it from morning to evening." Culture. Praise the Lord. Because he knew exactly what that is. And we're going to see that. Because they're coming from a culture that is worshipping idols. That's what they are used to. And to change that culture, God gives Moses a method that teaches them so that you instruct them the things that are what? That are of me. Isn't that what Jesus did in Luke? He says he taught them from what? From all the scriptures, beginning from what? From Moses. And he did what? He taught them things concerning me. So you can see that the model to really change in the local church is really very different sometimes from the model out there. We are lacking enough people. Not the word, please mark my word, not the word, enough people that can change culture about who God is in our culture. The Word of God is there. But we don't have enough people. Hallelujah. We don't have enough people who want to do that. Praise the Lord. And I believe that's why we're having so many problems around the world. Because where God is absent, I promise you, you don't need a prophet. There are going to be problems. It can be in your home. It can be in our nation. It can be in our church, but where God is absent, you don't need a prophet that it's not going to be well. There is going to be problems. And problems are going to increase. But where God is, morality in that culture is going to change. The way people treat one another is going to change. Because that's the God culture. Can you say amen? So Moses is teaching. I'm at verse what? Verse 15. "People come so that I can inquire for them to God." And then in verse 16 it says, "When they have a difficulty..." I think I finished this, right? Right. Verse 17. "So Moses' father-in-law said to him, 'The thing that you do is not good. The Hebrew word there, good, is not favorable. Or is not pleasant. Si chirunji. Please don't get lost, alright? Because in Acts chapter 6, let's go there quickly. Acts chapter 6, there is a problem, and it's a good problem. The church is growing. There are needs that are coming up in that local assembly. And then in verse 2, it says, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable. Now, that word desirable is the same word that Moses used. It is not good. He says, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Si chirunji, techiri pleasant. That we stop feeding people the word of God and concentrate in what he called serving tables. And you know the story in verse 3. Verse 3, he says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of what? Of a good reputation, all full of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and wisdom, whom we may what? Appoint over this business. And verse 4, but we, everyone say we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And that is for every believer. Are we here? Come on, are we here? So let's go back to Exodus. So the thing that you do, verse 17, is not good. It is not pleasant. Verses 18. Both you and these people are who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not what? Able to do what? To perform it by yourself. If we go to Ephesians chapter 4. Can we start, I think, from verse 11 or 12? 11? Okay, 11. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some, and some pastors and teachers. Right? Verse 12. For what? For the equipping of what? Of the saints, so that the saints can do what? The work of the ministry, so that what? For edifying of the body of Christ. So why? So that until we all come to the what? The unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So what? To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what? So that we should no longer be children tossed to and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of what? Of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So why do we have the Moseses in the local church? Go back to verse 12. For the equipping of what? Of the saints. So that the saints can do what? The saints can do the work of the ministry. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Ask your neighbor, are you in ministry? Mubuze. Kugambia, limubuereza. Akugambia echi. Nchawereza. Okay, mubuze. Anigwo wereza. ani gobadde oweereza. It's like they ask you, oli mulokole ndiye, osabira wa? Ekibuuzo ekikulu, osabira wa? Wa. Our church, nedda, osabira wa? Kwa bobo oli mulokole, oyina okubeera ko church gyokola ki? Tewali muntu yazaalibwa nga talina maka. Wajazaalibwa. Njaze nava mu gulu. Tewali muntu atalina gyatazaalibwa. So when you say you are in ministry, the next question is that who are you ministering to? Praise the Lord. So the apostles and the evangelists are there so that they equip the people in the church. So that the people in church are able to do their work. That's why there are very few laborers and yet the harvest is plentiful. Gwe wera abanti, are you part ku mulimu guno? You see yourself as part of this work. You see yourself as part of this work. Where abam gobozibira boti? Where abanti olimbu were zabuno? Ani gwe mvulidaka Brother Robert, where abam? Kati njagala kubuza ekibuuzo. Ani gw'olabye omwaka guno? Oba okitegeera? Kuba tusobola kwerabamu ate n'obeera nga tolina gw'olaba. So you can see that indirectly as a church we can become selfish. Indirectly. And sometimes unknowingly. That we come and there are so many things going on, but the real work is not done. We can come and do all that we did this morning, but the actual work of ministry is not done. And that's why we still have a few hiccups in the local church, because omulimu gwe nyini nyini guli ku muntu. This that I'm doing is the least. Because how long am I going to talk? It's about 1 hour, maybe 1.5. In some churches, it's 40 minutes or 20 minutes. At least I have 1.5. Then you start to switch me on your off in your mic. Why am I saying audio is 1.5? So, but anyway, I'm just joking. But I can only do it 1.5 hours. If all, I'm thinking to change you is 1.5 hours. I'm lying to myself. Because now you're so cool, akazindalo, no, you'll get up for 1.5 hours. But the truth is that ministry starts when you start ministering to the person. Kubanga nenjiri eno josoma, Brother Marino, tojisomera gwewe kaweka. Enenjiri ya muntu mulala. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Enenjiri jo ulira. Atenbara wino, zaine enjiri yo. Katigwe mkama kwa kuwe enjiri mbobo okula. Obo okulira muntu mulala. Amen. Chovola wanga we are a Twitter, Bible Twitter body. We minister to one another. There are things that I have that you don't have, and there are things that you have that I don't have. So when we come as a body, the Bible says we minister to one another. Kati chemvanku buza, gwe, ani gwo ministeringa tu. Tulifena, vinebigamba waliyo biulideko, tobiulirangako. kati bino ebigambo bitukuvu ate bituufu kubanga obisomye muki mu bibiliko yo si yange iyo n'eri eri ku blackboard kitegeeza bituufu Brother Jeff, right? Bituufu. Bagenda kutandika okubuuza nti oli mu buweereza, nti tulage abaana b'ozadde mu buweereza. Bugamba, nze ndi Asha, ndi Asha, ndi Asha. Anybody can be an Asha. Anybody. Jeremy can be an Asha. Jason can be an usher. We did ushering this morning. By the way, I'm not doing that to check what time you come in. I just felt I needed to greet my church members when they are coming. Mujamuli gloomy sometimes. So I say, put on a smile. So would you utia? Utia, Brother Derek Ade Kata. Tanso kunti ate wazele. Kwa wadoma nyi. Ujakum sanga. Neda. Nyimili na wakulaba. Osichi. Sanyiso kulaba. Sanyiso kulaba. Would you utia? Chimanyo obudde na ye sainso kulaba Sunday morning Bible ka yingira. I'm not checking what time you're coming in. Now is your pastor just being? I'm just looking forward to see you, and I'm going to do that until I feel I can't do it anymore. So we did that with Jason, and he was happy this morning. By the way, he said, "People, daddy, people coming." Amen? Come on, amen? So do you understand what I'm talking about? Is that we edify, we build that word, Greek word, you build. Who? The body of Christ. Someone edified me. I don't need encouragement. Somebody labored, nankuza, nanyweza. I need encouragement, but once in a while, maybe once in 5 years, please encourage me, but the rest of the years I'm on fire, I don't need part. Ibintu binkuba, I don't need a pastor with Jacob Abulonji, no, somebody really yankola momulimu. Really, nanzi jamwe chejo. Nanyweza. So nange mba njagala kolachi. Kunyweza muntu mulala. Bino ebintu bisoboka. You can be on fire for God 24/7. 360 days. Why? Because somebody has taken time to labor and edify you. Bino ebintu birema a lot of the times because maybe there's no one edifying you. Can you say amen? Come on, nice. So, going back to Exodus 18, we finish verse 19, right? Verse 20. And says, you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must what? Walk, and the work they must what? Do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men. So, we just did that study in Acts, where the disciple says, you also pick able men. Men full of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go there, but we just read that in Acts, right? So, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be what? Rulers over thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Sis Pauline, can you just give me that at the back? No. Okay, first stop there, right? I missed that in Luke. So, what is Jethro saying? This is a whole nation. You don't have to do it alone. It's too much. In fact, it is not pleasant, it is not good that just one man sits around and is teaching the entire congregation. Okay? Let me give you wisdom. Put them in house churches. Put them in what? House churches. And let some house churches have 1,000. And let other house churches have what? 100. And let other house churches have what? 50. And let other house churches what? See what? So where about Wally? So, not everybody is going to do 1,000. You see what I'm saying? Not everybody. Everyone has where they fit. You may be 1,000, you may be 100, you may be 50, you may be 10. Do you see that? Do you see that? And you can go all the way down because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, that's a church. So where two or three is already a church. And you're what? You are edifying and you're grooming people. That's a model. So you can't say, me, I can't handle 1,000. No. You can do the same work, but with maybe fewer people. Are we here? Come on, are we here? And he didn't stop there. He put there a leader. That when Moses was gone, who took over? Joshua took over. So there is a main leader, but this whole thing makes it possible that everybody in the camp is participating. Are we here? Then Jesus, we just said he 72, right? Send them 2 by 2. And then he had the 12. And then he had the 3. James. Who? And then he put a leader also over them, and that was Peter. So there are things that couldn't be handled in the 72, they were handled with the 12. There are things that couldn't be handled with the 12. Those small circles were for functioning. Not everybody went with Jesus on the mountain. He went with Peter, James, and what? And John. But in the end, Peter was put in charge of this group. But there was a what? An easier mechanism. Are we together? Come on, are we together? Can you give me the next slide? Okay. Now, it's not just Jesus and Moses. If you read Timothy, I think it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, stay there. Don't go there. But we can go to that scripture. 2 Timothy, I think so. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1. Do you have your Bibles? Okay, you're there. 2 Timothy, verse 1. It says, you therefore, my son, he calls him his what? His son in the faith. Okay? Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things you have heard from who? From me. Among many witnesses. The things you have what? Heard from me. Among who? Many witnesses. So Paul, father, Timothy, son. So he's giving him instructions and he's picking it from Moses' model. What does he say? The things that you've heard me from many witnesses, what do you do? Commit. Everyone say commit. Everyone say commit. These to what? Faithful men. The criteria for ministry is faithfulness, not being gifted. As long as somebody is there, that's what God is looking for. God is not looking for superstars. No, He's looking, is that person faithful? But they can't sing. No. Are they faithful? But they look like they are not a leader. Are they faithful? Are they showing up every week? He says, give them to what? Faithful men who will do what? Who will also give to other faithful men. We all go back to what Jethro told Moses. This thing can be done by anybody in the local church. It's just like I said, sometimes we're a little bit selfish and I don't know whether we realize that. But the Bible we are reading was passed on from other people to other people. Are we here? Come on, are we here? So Paul, Timothy, faithful men to other faithful men. Where are your faithful men? Do you have faithful men? Do you have faithful women? Where are your faithful men? Now let's go very fast as we really look towards ending. Let's go to Joshua. And I'm going to be a little bit fast in Joshua because now I've laid a very good foundation for you to see. Let's go to Joshua. I wanted to go to Deuteronomy, but leave Deuteronomy for another day. So Joshua chapter 1, it says, after the death of the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to who? Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses his what? Assistant, saying, Moses my what? Servant is what? He's dead. Moses is what? Moses is what? Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land where, which I am what? Giving to them, the children of Israel. Stay there. Now, sometime in the future, we'll really study Joshua chapter 1. But I can show you that there is really like, that verse right there is almost very, what do you say? Very familiar, like if you read Matthew 28, verses 28. Because Moses is dead, and by the way, Joshua means, Bible scholar, Joshua means savior. Okay? So Moses is dead. What happens? Joshua, savior, is given a mandate. He says, rise, go over this Jordan. Jesus is dead. What happens? He gives the mandate to who? To the disciples. And say what? Go over. So did you see? These things are not put there in the Bible so that it's a story. No. There is a pattern. Everyone says there is a pattern. So Joshua is given that mandate and said, take these people and take them where Moses told you to take them. And the pattern stayed. Now, I'm not going to talk about that today, but I want you to go to chapter. Same Joshua, chapter 21. Are we there? Come on, are we there? Chapter 21 and verses 43 to 45. It says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of what? Of it and dwelt in it. 44. The Lord gave them rest all according to all that he what? Come on, read with me. To their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. 45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. How did it come to pass? If you read Joshua chapter 1, I didn't go there. This book of the law shall not what? Depart from your mouth. Meditate on it when? Day and night. So that you make your what? Make your what? Your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. Everyone say it's in the book. Come on, everyone say it's in the book. Okay. Chapter 24 and verses 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in what? And in what? And in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Now, so you see why Joshua was teaching. They were serving other what? Other gods. Why are we teaching in the local church? Why should we teach? Because there are so many other idols. So many other gods. So we need to help people come out of that kind of mindset. Verse 15. And if it seems evil to you, to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will what? Serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the what? The Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Moses is giving them a choice to do what? To choose. You see what our fathers were serving. You saw how God delivered us and how He was faithful. Now, I'm telling you today that you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice whether you're going to serve those gods, or you need to make a choice whether you're going to serve God. But then it says, in case you're thinking about it, as for me and my house, we've made that decision. So you see that serving God, you don't really have to be a pastor. You can actually start in your own house. Are you hearing me today? Come on, mumpuliriza. Enyumba yomo tandikira. Can be your family, can be your friends. You can be two, you can be three. Motandikira. As for me and my house, we have what? We have decided to do what? To serve who? The Lord. Everyone say, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I truly mean it. I hope you and your house are really serving, or are really making that decision to serve the Lord. Because it's not complicated. Honestly speaking, if you fail, do it in your house. Do it in your house. Do it in your house. If you ever fail with this thing, do it in your house. Do it with your friends. Praise the Lord. Now, verses 29. Now, it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. Everyone said Joshua died. Moses died, but now Joshua is what? He's dead. Being 110 years old. Let's continue. Jump just verse 30. Go to verses 31. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Do you see that? Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. So Joshua, Israel, and elders who outlived him, all of them, there's a testimony that they did what? They served the Lord, who had known all the works of the Lord, which He had done for what? For Israel. Are we together? Come on, are we together? So, one man changed the culture of how people viewed God in his time. One, Moses. And what did he do? He didn't leave it to die with him. He passed on the same culture to Joshua. And Joshua did such an incredible job that even while he was dead, other people carried on with the same culture. Are we together? Judges, as I end, chapter 2. Verse 7. He says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, verse 8, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was what? 110 years old. And they buried him. Let's go to verse 10. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation, everyone say another generation, arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Now see, what happens when a nation knows God, or when a culture knows God, and when a culture doesn't know God. Okay? Verses 11. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baals. It didn't take time. It didn't even need a prophet that they are going to go astray. They just stopped serving God. What is serving God? What did the disciples say? We will not neglect. What? The ministry of prayer and the word. Ministry is unto people. When we neglect the word, obviously we are going to neglect people. Come on, imitate church. So immediately, another generation came. I don't know what happened. Maybe they didn't do what the elders did. Guess what happened? The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And guess what? They served Baals. 11, 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to jealousy. That's why I'm really preaching to you this long, calling every one of us that it's a responsibility of every believer to serve a culture. It's not just people who come to preach behind the pulpit like Moses. No, there has to be a model that is translated that every believer participates, gets involved, and we serve so many other people. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. I really feel that we can do this. Individually, you can do this. But also, corporately, we can do this. We can change the narrative. We can change the situation. And I know that you've seen so many places where you wished they would have known the truth. But let's not just wish. We are here. We know better now. Come on. We know better now. And we can do better now. Hallelujah. We can do better. We can change some things that were not done right. Because we know. Somebody needs you. And is waiting for you. Are you going to pack your bags? Are you going to make yourself uncomfortable? Now for me this year, it may have been my career. I don't know where God wants you. It may be at your workplace. But like I started this year and says, Exodus means a journey. What kind of journey are you going to have next year? What kind of life are you going to have next year? What kind of path are you going to have next year? Does it involve somebody else? Does it involve other people? Does it involve changing somebody's life? Does it involve, like I said, this year I'm going to commit that in my household we're going to do things differently. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to teach. I don't know where, I don't know how, but I hope you're thinking about it.